So, Ramon, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me on your program.
So, on February 27th, there was an ICE raid out in Woodburn, and a number of farm workers were arrested. And can you speak a little bit about the impact of that raid and the broader climate under this new administration?
Raid actually had a really tremendous effect, a negative effect on our community. We had understood that the priority of the Trump administration was to go after criminals, people that had serious criminal issues. And in fact, I think what we've seen happen last week was that they're actually going after hardworking people. In the case of the raid that took place last week, they went after farm workers, you know, people that work day in and day out to put food on the table, the American people. These are people who are the backbone in, you know, backbone of the agricultural industry, $6 billion. So it had a tremendous effect on our community. There was a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety in the community. You know, it's really becoming a police state where our families are really, really being devastated. People are not wanting to send their children to school. People are missing their doctor's appointments for fear that they're going to get apprehended. The local businesses are suffering after years and years of prosperity here. I mean, you know, Woodburn is considered a mecca for, you know, some of the best Latino food in the state. And it's just heartbreaking to see that the local economy is going under because this guy's immigration policy. We're hearing a family of a mother of five has no criminal record being taken, you know, and deported. We had these case of these farm workers here who I believe that one of the individuals had a DUII about 5 years ago. Another one had one about 10 years ago. And give me a break. Those are the criminals that we're going after? You know, I spoke at a synagogue not too long ago, and this elderly couple, really elderly, told me that they really believed that we were headed towards another Nazi Germany. And that everything I had to say was reminiscent of their youth. And so that was really a come to Moses kind of moment for me that said, wow, this is where we've gotten to, right? And we elected a fascist as president of the United States, right? And we're allowing a police state in our country to materialize. And the resistance, there's some resistance, but there's not enough. And people of good conscience, people of goodwill, you know, have to come to the aid of immigrants, have to come to the aid of farm workers. These are folks that work hard to put food on our table. And yet, the only thing we afford them is deportation. So, I mean, there's something wrong with that picture. And I think that people of all goodwill have to come together and start making some noise here.
Yeah, so just to kind of clarify the scope of Trump's executive orders on immigration, they put at risk of or prioritize for deportation anyone who's been convicted of a crime or who's actually been charged with a criminal offense. So they don't actually have to be convicted of anything, just charged. And this very sort of broad discretion that it affords ICE agents when it says that anyone who's at risk to public or national security at the discretion of the immigration agent.
Those are broad, broad rules that the ICE, especially in the federal government, has to go practically after anybody. In the case of the raid that happened in Woodburn, the two individuals were actually had a DUII years ago. And to me, that doesn't warrant, you know, going after a whole community. I mean, they stopped people on 99E. They stopped another 99E is a major thoroughway. So, and you know, it's definitely racial profiling because these people, like, there was a van full of Latinos, you know, going to work. And they stopped them. And so they asked, we investigated the case thoroughly, and they asked, the agents asked the, if they knew this individual, and they said no. And then they asked them, well, where are you guys from? And that's the crux of the matter that we're doing right now, is we're trying to educate the people. Just because you're stopped by ICE or by a federal agent, you don't have to give them your immigration status. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to a due process. You have the right to call an attorney. And so we're in a process right now. We've had three community forums here, and there's a number of forums that are being organized in this community to teach people what their rights are. In the case of this individual that was arrested a month ago up in Gresham, they have 5 U.S. citizen kids. Here in Woodburn, they arrested an individual about 3 weeks ago who they were looking for a relative, and they got him. And he has 3 U.S. citizen kids. He's lived here for 30 years, had a DUII a number of years ago. And just because of that, you know, it's caused pain and suffering in the community. The kids are traumatized. They'll never be the same again. And so, you know, we're that's what one of the things that we're doing. We've been asked many times, well, what is it we can do? Well, one of the things we're doing is we're asking people to come to these community forums to learn their rights. Also to educate their families about what to do in case of emergencies. there's a number of churches that are offering scholarships to get to help pay for passports for the kids, so that they can start the process to document their roots in the state.
Can you talk a little bit about the impact of these raids on working conditions for farm workers and wages, and the overall impact on labor conditions?
Well, you know, it's kind of early right now, but I can tell you that the number one thing that's happening is that people don't want to go to work. We don't know what the long-term effect it's going to be on the agricultural community. I know that a number of farmers have come out publicly and said that this is just horrendous for the industry. The farming, we're just starting to pick up work here and pruning, and the bulk of the work hasn't even started yet. But I can tell you that there's a lot of fear among the workers, which can lead to a lot of problems in terms of there's a sector of farm labor contractors out there that can prey on people, and we're anticipating that's going to happen. So again, we're doing Know Your Rights trainings, but also educating people about they have legal rights also. So to watch out for abuses, to watch out for violations of minimum wage laws, wage theft, because those are certainly coming. And like I say, it's kind of early right now. I mean, the administration has been in office for about a month. And so in 1 month, this is the result. And they haven't even started. I mean, we're going to see increased money for deportation. They're going to hire more immigration and custom agents for deportation, for deportation proceedings. They're going to hire more agents to conduct raids. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're really worried that if the American people do not come to the aid of immigrants, then we're going to suffer mass deportations, violations, wholesale violations of human and civil rights. And, you know, the couple that I spoke to at the synagogue not too long ago were saying, you know, this is what we went through back in the 30s. You know, they were really young. But they witnessed this. They assured me that they were going to do everything they could within their power to make sure that they came to the aid of immigrants. But we need more than that.
Ramon, are there actions or events that you'd like to promote and get the word out about?
Well, there's several actions. I don't have the information in front of me right now, but certainly there's one on March 6th up in Portland in front of the ICE offices. That's one. There's a number of churches in the Portland metropolitan area that are preparing, how I can help my community. There is a 1-800 number that you can call to report raids. And then, you know, there's the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition up in Portland is conducting a number of Know Your Rights and how allies can be, you know, good allies in this cause. So I would just say, you know, stay tuned to KBOO. For mobilizations, I know that people are starting to talk about the mobilization for May 1st, which would hopefully be a massive outcry of protest against the Trump policies. Mm-hmm. And there's been little victories here and there. I know that mobilizations in a number of states like Texas, California, and Illinois has resulted in immigrants that have been arrested for no reason other than that they committed a minor crime were put into deportation proceedings. And through protests, through letters of support, through marches, they were able to get these individuals out. So we can stop Trump, but it's going to take a village. It's going to take all of us working together.
Can you talk a little bit more about the situation of the woman who's facing deportation, the woman with 5 kids, and if there's ways that people can specifically support?
Yeah, I don't have the specifics on her case of, but I know of the case. I read about it in OPB actually, and other news services, that there was a woman whose husband was on his way to work, never had a criminal record, was pulled over by ICE agents, and as a result of his arrest, now she's under deportation proceedings. That's a serious problem, and you know those kids are U.S. citizens, and it's just amazing that we can put a family through that, through those emotional issues. I know what a deportation feels like. My sister's husband was deported when my sister was 6 months pregnant, their first child. And I know the desperation, us trying to get money, trying to locate him, and he was traumatized. You know, he actually got deported and never came back. He's one of those individuals who had. He was really traumatized and didn't want to go through those issues again. So as a result, you know, my sister basically became a single parent mother.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the case of Francisco Aguirre, who's was really under siege from ICE and took sanctuary in the church in Portland, and his son was so traumatized by that experience that
exactly.
In the aftermath he went back to El Salvador voluntarily
and he was killed.
Almost immediately.
Yeah, and so, I mean, a lot of these folks, the group that was arrested, the farm worker group that was arrested last Friday, were from Guatemala. And a number of them were actually released because they have pending deportation hearings. I happen to know a couple who came here to the office months ago from that group and were telling me why they left Guatemala. And basically, the brother was being targeted by a gang, and so the two brothers, they left. And he was married and had 2 kids, and so like they came up together, and they actually, when they crossed the border, turned themselves in, and then were given these immigration papers. This was a year and a half ago. But they were telling me why they came up here. And I asked them, you know, if you were making a decent wage and didn't have these issues of violence in your country, would you come here? And the answer was no. I mean, I love my hometown. I love my country, you know, but I have to survive. I have a young wife. I have 2 kids and, you know, I can't put them at risk anymore. And to a large extent, our economic and foreign policies towards countries like Mexico and Central America are causing illegal immigration. You know, we don't treat countries to the south as economic partners. We look at those countries as a way to exploit their natural resources and exploit their people that create the conditions that the reasons why people immigrate illegally into this country.
Well, yeah, and the U.S.'s support for death squad activity in Guatemala against labor unions, against human rights activities, was just so integral to destabilizing the country in El Salvador and throughout Central America.
Exactly. So, and this is something that the American people, generally the American people, don't understand.
You've been listening to an interview with Ramon Ramirez, president of the Oregon Farmworkers Union, PECUN. This is the first in a 2-part segment. The second half will run next week on the Old Mole Variety Hour between 9 and 10 a.m. There are 2 events today bearing on immigrants' rights. One is a March for a Permanent Home for Portland Day Laborers. That's hosted by VOS Workers' Rights Education Project. It begins at 10 a.m. and goes until 12 noon at 240 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard at the Day Laborers Center there. The second event is at 4:30. It's the ICE Out of Oregon Rally. It's being hosted by VOS Hispania Cambio Comunitario, and it runs from 4:30 to 6 p.m. People will be gathering at 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue. And again, that's at 4:30.
at 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue. This has been Desiree Helgers for the Oldham Variety Hour.
Telling the truth, exposing the lies. Think about the dead soldiers when you're driving your ride. When people die for the oil, and daddy pushes revenge. I'm with